Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday. We've been using part of our Friday shows this summer to follow up on things that came up earlier in the week, and right now we want to follow up on our so-called crowdsourcing experiment, our group journalism project to count the SUVs among the cars on your block. More than 400 people did so, and yesterday we had a call-in for SUV owners, and again I want to thank producer Jim Colgan, plus Kevin LaHoda and Valentina Powers from our web department, and everybody from the web department for working really hard to make it all happen. So now what? Today, just for the next few minutes, we want to ask for your ideas for future crowdsourcing or group journalism projects. How do you think we could use our listeners to help commit acts of journalism next? Suggest a crowdsourcing or group journalism idea. 212-433-WNYC. All our lines are already full. The experiment that we did was admittedly very simple. We could have just looked up the stats for the prevalence of SUVs in the New York City metro area, but instead we asked you to go out and count the percentage on your blocks, and we got numbers pretty consistent with the actual figures, about 30%. So probably what was gained was the personal experience for a lot of you of just looking at the vehicles on your blocks and asking yourselves about reasons for owning gas guzzlers, including your own. SUV owners were among those who posted. And, you know, the underlying question was, of course, in a world with the environmental challenges that we are facing, and if you don't live in a snowy, hilly area, okay, people in Greenwood Lake, you're off the hook, what reasons are good enough to own a gas guzzler? And there were nuances that came out, as with our call-in for SUV owners yesterday, also questions. So you can call in now and suggest what we might do next that might be even more meaningful or more journalistic or more better. We also have a comments page on our website for this, a suggestions page. It says, what should our next crowdsourcing project be? We already have some suggestions coming in here. One says, perhaps some form of counting how many plastic bags you see people carrying in a short period of time, or water bottles. How about count the number of people in grocery stores who bring their own reusable bags, says the second one. So people are still on the environmental thing. Let's see. Since we've got our training wheels with cars and pollution, is a major reason cited for the mayor's congestion pricing plan, why not count how many people are sitting in their cars idling, writes someone else. So, and you can see what other people are suggesting and suggest your own at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But let's go real quick through some of you who are calling in at 212-433-WNYC. Nuri in Jamaica, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. It's a great survey you're doing there. I wanted to just quickly recommend if we can take surveys on pit bulls.
Pit bulls. Just where do you see pit bulls?
Where do you see pit bulls? What do you see them doing? How do you see them interacting with society? Are they unleashed, leashed, you know, and are they scaring people? What is the reaction of society towards pit bulls, at least here in New York? I would be interested in that.
Thanks a lot. Kay in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kay.
Hi. I would love it if you could have people report whether their offices recycle paper or not. And in particular, offices that preach a higher awareness or public consciousness, like yoga studios or architecture firms that preach about sustainability, are they recycling paper?
That's good. So you're looking to bust people's hypocrisy.
Oh, you bet.
Okay, thank you very much. And in fact, you know, I meant to say in the introduction, we could do things that just discover something about life in our area. We could also do some things that are more muckraking in nature and that, you know, smoke things out, things that we couldn't do with our small staff. But if everybody goes out and asks the right question of the right person or looks under the right, you know, awning, that you might be able to find something without putting yourself in danger, without intruding on anybody's privacy, but something that's a little bit muckraking in nature would be great if we could come up with something like that. Alyssa in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, Brian. I'm interested in people's the density of scaffolding. So can you walk down your block without running into scaffolding? Can you turn the corner without running into scaffolding?
And what would that tell you?
Well, I think there's a psychological effect in terms of the compression that New Yorkers are feeling with all the construction going on. And on top of that, every time you walk, you have to, you know, squeeze through the scaffolding, let alone the dust that surrounds it and so on.
Now, here's a related one that somebody posted on our site. It says, how about counting the eyesore of permanent scaffolding in place for more than 1 year in front of existing buildings that has advertising posted on it? This says, I thought there was a law against selling ad space on construction scaffolding and for scaffolding to remain in place for more than a certain period of time. So you don't want to stop people from, you know, building or doing...
The advertising is what upsets me. Scaffoldings are ugly enough in and of themselves.
Yeah. But people have to build, right? I mean, if they're choosing to build or do improvements.
Brian, it's the density and concentration. That's a few months ago, I live in the West Village. I couldn't walk one block from my house without having to adapt to the scaffolding.
Alyssa.
And I just think it has a compressive effect.
Thank you very much. Giovanni in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. What you got?
Hello?
Hello, Giovanni.
First of all, I don't think we have to just keep on counting things just because the first idea was counting.
Absolutely right.
I like what you said about muckraking. I noticed that the issue of homeless people out on the street, especially around Midtown, has gone off the radar screen of journalists. And I don't see it in the news anymore. And it did not go away. I've seen it late at night especially, like after 1 a.m., 2 a.m., I've seen it by Roseland Ballroom. I've seen by Carnegie Hall people sleeping. It's out there, and I think we should bring it back and figure out who's servicing these people. They didn't all just disappear into the tunnels. They're still out there.
Giovanni, thanks a lot. You know, he makes a good point about counting. A few of you have already called in and written on our site other counting projects, but things could be very, very different. Here are a couple that we've got that are really different. Somebody wants us to interview parent coordinators in the New York City public schools all over town. That is, deputize you to go to your local public school and try to get a short interview with a parent coordinator from each public school in the city, something too hard for our small staff to do, but to try to pull together a picture of what they really do and how that program is really working or not to serve schools and parents and families. Someone else suggested interviewing bodega or convenience store workers, wherever you are, and just asking them, what's the best and worst thing about the neighborhood you work in, and what are your customers telling you that your neighborhood needs to be the best that it could be? So those are a couple of very different kinds of qualitative ones that have been suggested, not just counting things. So there you go. 212-433-WNYC, though our lines are full. If you want to suggest possible next crowdsourcing projects for you and us to do together, go to our website, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Because those lines are never full. Mark in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Yes, hi, Brian. My issue, and unfortunately this is a counting issue, is people who are driving while holding their cell phones. I'm always amazed when I'm out trying to cross the street or walking around at the number of people navigating traffic, oncoming traffic, pedestrians, while they're holding a phone in their hand. And also on the highway, I often count myself how many people I pass or who pass me who are on the highway on 684 on the Long Island Expressway holding a phone and yakking while going 70 miles an hour.
Okay, thanks. I guess if you're going to do that, you could say, how many people did you pass in a mile or in 5 minutes of driving? That might be interesting. Mark in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, I have something totally different. I think that would be fascinating if all of us get on the web and find out, get contacts of people in northern Iraq where the Kurds are. And there's plenty of them that speak English. And through email, I say, if America withdraws, what's going to happen next? What do you think will happen next? Will the Turks attack? Will the Iranians attack? Will you get tactical nuclear weapons? And just try to get as much contact through English sources on the, or even Kurdish-speaking sources on the web through email. I regularly email some woman in Beirut, talking about what's happening and how she doesn't like the Shias and how they have certain neighborhoods you can't walk in.
Right. So look for go and
look for
aggregate the posts on the web by Iraqis.
Right, by Iraqis, or there's ways you could just go Kurdish blogs, mm-hmm. Kurdish bloggers.
Mark, thank you very much. By the way, someone collected in response to our crowdsourcing project the 10 most efficient cars in 2007. Let's see, according to who? Is this a Consumer Reports list? I'm not sure, but this came to us as Toyota Prius, Honda Civic Hybrid, Toyota Camry Hybrid, Toyota Yaris, Honda Fit, Toyota Corolla. I'm saying Toyota a lot here. Mini Cooper, Hyundai Accent, Kia Rio, and Honda Civic. Steve in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve. You have a crowdsourcing idea?
Yes. I think it would be great if people could go around their neighborhood and find the hidden history that's there. Maybe an event that took place 40 years ago that has been lost to history, or a building that has some historical significance, or even an older person in the neighborhood who could reminisce about things that happened in mm-hmm. the 1920s or 19-teens.
Mm-hmm. Cool one. Thank you very much. Oh, and here's the 5 most efficient SUVs, their 2007 rank. Number one was the Ford Escape Hybrid. Number two, the Mercury Mariner Hybrid. There are hybrid SUVs. Number three, the Lexus RX 400H Hybrid. Number four, the Toyota Highlander Hybrid. And number five, the Saturn View Hybrid. So there are hybrid SUVs, in case you didn't know. All right, and thanks for your calls. We can keep taking your suggestions for what kind of crowdsourcing project, as it's been coined, or group journalism project we might do next with you. Go to our website, WNYC.org, and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, it is not just Friday. It's follow-up Friday. We followed up on the SUVs project and the presidential candidate's policy proposals, and we'll finish up with some of our caller and comments of the week. So here's the call of the week from our interview with Steve Ettlinger about his new book, Twinkie Deconstructed. It is Michelle in Manhattan who called to confess that she liked Twinkies as a child and then went on with this believe it or not bit.
I had read about a high school science teacher that took a Twinkie and put it on the eraser holder, which I'm not even sure they still have them anymore in schools, but the rack where the erasers would sit, and it stayed for 18 years. I was wondering if Mr. Ettinger had heard of that. And it never actually decomposed. It eventually sort of turned into like a crumbly brick-like substance and turned to dust, but it never molded, never in any kind of organic way decomposed. 18 years.
18 years. I was getting chills thinking about that and people eating Twinkies at that moment. By the way, the list that I gave you of the most fuel-efficient cars and most fuel-efficient SUVs came from the environmental group, NRDC. Now, finally, our comments of the week. I was talking with Eric Enquist from Quain's New York Business about ways of reducing traffic earlier, and we got this comment from Sandra from the Bronx on our website. She wrote, I was flabbergasted by Mr. Enquist's comment that the city makes $1 million per day on alternate side of the street parking and would be unlikely to remove this pot of gold to reduce congestion. I felt blessed that I lived on a street where there is only 2 days of alternate side parking. Little did I realize that I was listening to the show at that moment and being ticketed $45 for forgetting to move my car. Keep the calls and comments coming. We've a lot more to do next week. Thanks to all of you for listening this week. Have a great weekend. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.